Great to have you here. Tuesday afternoon, we're going to get a Tuesday trifecta for you a little bit later on as well to commemorate such a wonderful day of the week. Would you say the show is blowing up on a Tuesday? I hope so. 888-957-9570 is the number. We've been blowing up Tony Bruno's phone, and Tony is reliable as a Swiss-engineered clock, and for whatever reason, we're just having a bad day getting people on the phone. That's what it is. We're just cold, man. You know, we're saying the Warriors are red hot. We're kind of ice cold when it comes to getting that start time. It's not Albie. Albie's making the calls. He's arranged the interviews. We're just not getting people on the phone. I bet you Tony Bruno shows up, and guess what? If we don't have him, tomorrow or the next day, whatever, you know, we're good.
We'll make it work.
Tony's got a lot of, as we call it, house credit to play with. A lot of house credit for Tony, no doubt. 888-957-9570. Whenever we do not have a guest, it does open up opportunities for you to weigh in. And the Warriors last night certainly weighed in on that series. They weighed it up and said, we're done with it. That was an incredible first quarter. The Warriors dropped last night 45 points. That is a franchise best in a playoff first quarter. It ties an NBA first quarter scoring record. And they were just insane. I was looking at some of the things that people were saying, and you know, everybody on Twitter. Twitter really is. It's the biggest group of fart sniffers of all time. I mean it, Gianna. Everyone's like, oh, I'm so good at what I do. Everything I say is so important. People looking at the Warriors. After a three-year run of nearly unprecedented excellence last night, some people were willing to come around. Hey, they're not bad.
They're pretty good.
Not bad. Not a bad basketball team after all. But there's no amount of success that they can have with or without Kevin Durant where someone doesn't try to turn it into, like, what's inside Durant's mind? I wish we had a better answer to what's inside Durant's mind. I'll tell you what there is in there, without a doubt, is there's a really, really smart, introspective, sort of sensitive guy. If you haven't listened to Durant's interviews with Bill Simmons this year, you've missed out on two of the more interesting conversations. And I know it's with the same guy, but it really is interesting to hear what Durant has said and how he's wired and what he talks about and what is important to him. Again, I really, really hope this is a conversation that we can have directly with the man in the near future. What the hell? Why not? We are the flagship station, after all. They got plenty of time on their hands, too. I just want to put that on the table publicly. There's a lot of time this week to maybe sit down for an interview, maybe.
Have a chat.
That'd be nice. When they went to the Hamptons, it wasn't to win a title. It was to win multiple titles. It was to lure him here to find a path of least resistance to reach the promised land as many times as humanly possible in the next few years. And I even remember, I think Steph Curry said in that Hamptons meeting, you know, here's what it is. You can stay where you are and win a title or two. And we can do our own thing and probably win more titles without you. But if we put our minds together, we could win all the titles. Not even having to split them ourselves, you know? Like we can both have a certain degree of success on our own here, or we could have a historical degree of success if we combine forces, Wonder Twins power activate. Form of basketball, form of net. So they're sitting there and they're selling him on a bigger picture. And I bet you it sounded good. As a matter of fact, I think I can prove it because he ended up signing with the Golden State Warriors over the 4th of July last summer. And now he is totally acclimated into the team, its culture. He's a culture leader for the team. Even though he hasn't won a championship yet with Golden State, there's no doubt his voice, when he chooses to use it, carries an awful lot of weight on a team that has won without him. He's a very important piece. Didn't necessarily need him against Portland. Absolutely going to need him in the future. In the future, an immediate future, a future future. You're going to need him before this year is over. And someone was basically saying, you know, as you're trying to read into Kevin Durant's mind, there was a picture of him looking a little, not frustrated, but just looking confused or maybe a little, I don't know, because the Warriors were playing great, but it was a picture from him on the bench last night. It wasn't necessarily a flattering picture. It was, you know, who knows what he was thinking about? You can't tell by looking at the picture, but someone suggested, you know, I wonder if this is the moment where Kevin Durant realizes that the Warriors didn't need me as much as they just needed me to not be on Oklahoma City.
Interesting.
And I couldn't tell if someone was asking like a real introspective question or was just trolling something or I don't know. But to me, I thought of all the stupid stuff that I've read about Kevin Durant, that's actually the smartest stupid stuff offering I have seen in terms of player psychology. Kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can see the thought process behind that. Absolutely. Keep your friends, your enemies close. What is it the saying? Keep your
friends close and your enemies even closer. Yeah. It really wasn't about adding Durant to be able to win. In a way, it was about removing Durant from an equation that you no longer have to deal with, and that is a threatening equation to the point where you were in a 3-1 hole against him last year.
Right.
Had he and Russ stayed together? I mean, what if Russ had his year with Kevin Durant next to him? We could say, well, you can't have a year like that with Kevin Durant playing next to you. And maybe that's why Kevin Durant decided to leave, because he didn't want to play next to that anymore. And we know that Russ certainly has his issues. By the way, facing elimination tonight, I wouldn't be surprised to see Westbrook put up 70 shots. I mean, what's the most amount of shots attempted in an NBA playoff game? That number is in play tonight for Russ, wouldn't you say, facing elimination? Thought it was kind of interesting, though. Does Kevin Durant think they really need me? Or they just need me not to be on Oklahoma City? Interesting, right?
Sure.
Now, I would really hope that, of course, he doesn't think like that. Of course it isn't as simple as that. And of course, there's no way Kevin Durant now feels like he is less important or not needed or it's a variable that if you left out of the equation, it still equals title. I don't think he's really worried about that. All he wants is that ring. Nothing. How he'll be remembered for it. The role he played in getting it. This, that, the other thing. When the end of Kevin Durant's career happens, they're not going to say, well, you know, that first title, they got past Portland practically without him. And then, oh, you know, they didn't even really need him. I mean, they went 14 in a row down the stretch without him. Kevin Durant was, what, are you going to try to pigeonhole him into like a clinger, a hanger-oner of an NBA title? Like he doesn't play an important role? Like he's not this team's leading scorer? You know, people will come up with whatever nonsense fits the point they want to make in the moment they're trying to make it. I could now pivot directly to Donald Trump and talk about him, but for the sake of all of us, we will not do that. But everyone's trying to make up their own story to tell the story they want to tell, and facts be damned. Look, Kevin Durant understands what threats are on a basketball court. And on Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant represented almost a singular direct threat that you had to pay attention to. He is now among the threats. Instead of him and Westbrook and no one else is really that threatening. The threat of him opens seasons upon seasons of open shots for his teammates. You want to roll over and start guarding his teammates, which, by the way, I would highly recommend because they can really knock it down. Now he is left open for seasons upon seasons of not, hey, he's their most important player. You got to defend him. You got to stay in front of him. We got to have two guys on him all the time. Kevin Durant, just based on the situation he in, gets treated like any other player. And he isn't just any other player. He's Kevin Durant. If you're offering him, hey, so Kevin, in the next 10 years, you're going to get 1,000 more open looks just being on a Warrior than being covered like a blanket on any other team. No wonder why he's here. Don't look at this as, let's evaluate Kevin DeRears in the vacuum of this Portland series. You're a slave to the moment. That's insane. You might just be covering the NBA for Fox Sports. Dig. The man, the myth, the legend, is he here? Is he ready? Well, then play that man's theme song, if you will.
Don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
We never doubted him. We never doubted him for a second. We didn't just do 9 minutes ripping Tony Bruno's absence. No way. We never would do that to you, Tony. There is no disloyalty at all on this program. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I apologize. I was like the Portland Trailblazers. I decided I'd show up in the second quarter and try to stage a comeback.
Oh, very nice. I thought you were going to open with I was out riding my dirt bike with Madison Bumgarner for sure.
It's raining. I was watching Rain Delay Theater, actually, because it's been raining heavily here. But the good news is for all you draft Knicks, as the NFL draft action starts to heat up here, it's going to be great. Weather's going to be perfect for the next few days, like in the 80s. So when you're watching the draft and you're saying, wow, it's nice there, just think it's been raining for like 4 straight days.
Now, where are they actually doing the draft?
On the Art Museum steps, of course, the famous Art Museum. They call it the Rocky Steps because Sylvester Stallone ran up them in the original Rocky. But it's actually the Philadelphia Museum of Art, which unfortunately now has become known as, that beautiful Parthenon on the Parkway, which is a museum. But most people show up because they moved the Rocky statue outside because they used to have it up at the top of the steps. But the art crowd said, no way, you can't have a fictitious character at the top of the steps because you ran up there in the movie as an actor. So they actually moved it back down on the side of the art museum, and now there's a nonstop line of people. More people go to see the Sylvester Stallone Rocky statue than actually go inside the museum to see the amazing works of art.
I mean, is Philadelphia collectively kidding itself as an art destination there? It might be the most single iconic spot in the city's history. And again, you got a Liberty Bell, you got Independence Hall, you got a lot of history in Philadelphia. But the Rocky statue belongs at the top of those steps. Damn the art crowd, Tony. Damn them all to hell.
No, I mean, Philly's a great art. I mean, we've got the Barnes Museum. I mean, the Art Museum is an amazing place. There's a lot of great art in this town. So this isn't just shot in a beer crowd, which most people think. It's a great art community here, great restaurant scene. But the art museum, they picked it because there's a parkway that goes down for blocks, and the NFL saw, open space. We can put out and turn. They're basically turning the NFL draft into the Super Bowl. They want it to be a whole week thing with all kinds of outdoor events. You can pay $8 for a $3 beer. So they've got this thing, every sponsor in the world is there. Athletes come in, do autograph signings. So this is more than just the old NFL draft on Saturday morning at noon at the old Madison Square Garden Belt Forum, with a bunch of Jet Giant and Eagle fans screaming.
Right.
I mean, they've made this into a big deal. Chicago last year, you saw it. And that's their goal, is to turn the draft into another Super Bowl week or an NBA All-Star week where it's a long celebration and there's all kinds of stuff going on day in and day out. And it started today. But tomorrow it'll start heating up, and then Thursday, obviously, it'll be crazy here for the weekend.
I heard you can't get a hotel room in Philadelphia this weekend.
That's what I hear. Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, somebody's going to make a lot of money in this town. A lot of sponsors are involved, so it's going to be fun. I'll be there live doing my podcast on Thursday night up on the top of the art museum steps. And, as hokey as we are when it comes to tourists, whether you come out to San Francisco and go down, to the Embarcadero or go to Ghirardelli Square or do the cable cars, one of the things people always do here, they have to run up the art museum steps
right,
and then get to the top and then dance around like Rocky did.
Right. The city's not built on the history of the Constitution or anything like that or the Congressional Congress. Forget all that. It's cheesesteaks and Rocky steps. That's Philly. It's the truth.
Well, I'm not the slave to the moment. I am the slave to the rhythm. But I'm not a slave for the moment.
Without a doubt. And you know what? At least there is still one Italian stallion at the top of those steps this weekend. Tony Bruno will be there doing his podcast.
I will not be frozen with my hands in the upright and locked position as the Rocky statue. Although there's a lot of Rocky hate in this town. My buddy Joe Corrado, who's on my podcast, he's one of those Italian guys from Philly who just resents Rocky and thinks that the deifying a fictitious movie character is just a little too much. I mean, Rocky 1 to me was great, but that's 1976. what's that, 40 years ago now? How many, is that 40 years, 76 to now?
Is that it? Yeah.
96. Yeah, 40 years ago was when Rocky kicked off. It's going into its 41st year. Yet there are some people here who don't like that whole Rocky mentality in this town. Although fans, a lot of fans, like the Rocky mentality when it comes to being an underdog and winning. So that to me is what Rocky signifies to a lot of people here. You're an underdog, you come out of nowhere, and you win. How many movies have been made like that since then, though? I think every month another movie of a guy who's an underdog and goes on to win comes out. I don't know why they keep making those. I guess people keep going to see them.
People like it. People love to be drawn in, I guess. If you know the comeback, couldn't believe it story. Everyone loves a comeback kid. There's no doubt. Speaking of comeback kids, how about Derek Jeter possibly being in line with Jeb Bush of all people to buy the Florida Marlins? That sounds like gift baskets, Tony, for all the season ticket holders. A Derek Jeter gift basket.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. I'll be honest with you. I'm shocked. And no, I'm not surprised Derek Jeter is going to be involved in baseball somehow. But when I saw the figure, they're talking over $1 billion, right? For the Miami, don't call me Miami, Florida Marlins.
For the frickin' Marlins.
I know they got a new stadium with a fish tank in there and everything else, and the fans still don't show up. I don't know. Is Derek Jeter going to have to be like Michael Jordan remember when they had him in the box there in Carolina? When he was first named part owner of the Charlotte Hornets back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Does Derek Jeter have to go down there and do signings on the field because nobody knows most of the Marlins players, with the rare exception of a couple of stars that they have, until they get rid of everybody and bring in a whole bunch of new young people?
No kidding.
So Jeter's going to have to work the railing, I guess, during batting practice.
The best thing he could do for the franchise would be to show up, sign a couple autographs, and then be like, you know what we got to get rid of? This lime green that permeates this entire ballpark. They got the worst color shade of green in all of Major League Baseball. They really, really do. Warriors absolutely dominated the Trailblazers last night. Even Charles Barkley was left impressed. That's how good they were, Tony. I don't know who stands in front of them for seven games. Anyone on planet Earth, bring it on anywhere, anytime. This is the best team. This is one of the best teams of all time before it's even over right now. That's how good they are.
I totally agree with you. I was watching last night. I even stayed up. I was up after 2 o'clock watching the NBA inside the NBA on TNT. Because, you know, I tweeted about it. I said, it's 1:55 here in the East. I'm still up because nothing's better. There's no better train wreck than watching inside the NBA and the whole Gone Fishing thing and the fishing poles and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Those guys do it right, man. They have a lot of fun on that show. It's a train wreck, which is why I watch it, because it's so good. It's not your typical let's break down the X's and O's shows. It's just phenomenal. I think it's the best of all the studio shows in any sport anywhere inside the NBA. Would you agree?
Look, it's the only thing that I really routinely stick around for at least a couple segments of. So if the do you watch it or do you not watch it as much as it drives me nuts at times, yeah, I watch. They got me. Damn it.
I have to watch. And here on the East Coast, when you got these West Coast games, you know, people are staying up. Those guys, I keep thinking, you know, that Charles is a friend. I'm like, and Miss Robbins there, she said, is this live? I said, yeah, it's 1:30 in the morning in Atlanta, Georgia, and these guys have to do it every time they do a West Coast game. But I guess for them, they're going to get a break because they're going to have the Eastern Conference Finals on TNT, right? So I guess they don't have to stay up till 2 a.m. anymore to do post game.
No, as long as they're getting a good night's sleep, that's all that really matters. It takes forever to get to the next round of the playoffs if you sweep. Are you worried about rust affecting the Warriors? We're literally inventing stuff to pretend to do segments of what we might be worried about.
I wouldn't worry about anything right now. I take a couple days off myself, rest up, you know, sit around, grab a couple of pops, a couple of cans of beer, bottled beer, whatever kind of beer you like. Sit around, watch the nothing is more exciting than the NFL draft. By the way, did you see what the NFL is going to do on Saturday, day three, when they know nobody will be watching?
Yeah, they're going to piss off a whole bunch of Raider fans by announcing it from Las Vegas.
They're going to have teams like the Arizona Cardinals are going to have their mascot and season ticket holders at the Grand Canyon announcing their pick. The Indianapolis Zoo will be the site of the Colts defensive end Kendall Langford will make the picks there. But my favorite one is the Houston Texans. Astronauts at the International Space Station will announce the picks for the Texans from outer space on Saturday, day three of the NFL draft. So we won't have like the backup third string, whoever follows the commissioner, and then the assistant commissioner, and then somebody, you know, comes out and nobody knows who they are, and they announce the picks at the podium. They're going to take an international, which I think is smart, because are you really watching day three of the NFL draft?
Not without an international space station involved. No way. So I think it's a good idea for sure. And, of course, it just opens up, Tony, when they're on that clock. Houston, hello.
Hello.
Always great to talk to you, man. I'm glad that we caught up. Looking forward to you, a true Guinea atop the steps. We have great art here, too. Truly, our Art Spander wants you to know that. By the way, we have great
art. Art Spander. Well, he's got his own museum.
It's classic art. It's modern art all at once. It really is. Tony, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much. Enjoy the draft. Philly will be a buzz this weekend. Cheesesteaks for everyone. Broccoli Rob for the ladies. Thank you, Tony.
Exactly right. Thank you, sir. And I apologize for being tardy.
Never, ever. You have a carte blanche, sir. You can call when the show's over and we can just talk. I'll be happy. Tony Bruno. Thank you very much. Tony Bruno Show. Podcast it. Make it happen. It's always good stuff. It really is. You're going to like it. Astronauts announcing the Texans pick from outer space.
Astronaut Peggy Whitson will introduce the team's picks and send it down to Earth for the live announcements.
That's cool. So that means somebody has to leak the pick to Peggy. So if you can tap into the International Space Station feed, you'll have it before everyone.
Yes.
Peggy knows.
Peggy knows.
Peggy knows. Where, you know, the Raiders on day three are going to make a pick from the Las Vegas sign, the fabulous Las Vegas sign. That is just a tone-deaf moment of, you got to be kidding me. You must be the frickin' Oakland Raiders I've ever seen. That's just why you'd put that pick in a position to be standing in a staggeringly awkward moment in the very first moment of the dawn of that person's career. I don't know. You know, I'm trying to think, where should the Niners make their day three pick from? Obviously, there's a list out there. The Niners should make their day three pick stuck in terrible traffic somewhere right outside of Redwood City, because that's when traffic really gets like. The Niners should announce their pick from awful traffic somewhere, Redwood City. What is that? Whipple.
Okay, Whipple off 101.
Should be right off Whipple. Should be at a gas station off Whipple. And behind the actual pick being made, there should be this guy dressed like a fan going to Levi's on game day on his cell phone explaining why he's not at the stadium yet because traffic's so bad. That's where the Niners should do their pick from. Either that or the bus station at the Michael Mina restaurant in their stadium.
Maybe from Caltrain.
Yeah, that'd be good. They should do it from a parking lot that still charges you $80, even though it's 600 yards away from the stadium.
Yeah.
And right before they make their pick, they should ceremoniously hand over an $80 parking fee. Just rip off 420s. 2, 4, 6, 8. Boom, there you go. In the third round, the 49ers select better parking. By the way, how impressive was Arroyo's 0-for-4? He's up to second in the batting order tonight. No wonder why they were fawning over him on NBC afterwards. Like, Willie McCovey debuted taking a 4-for-4, going deep. If that had happened, they would have come back to the NBC studio and you just had three guys fainting, just passed out in their chairs. Arroyo gets jammed, but gets the runner over to third, and he sees all, does all.
Come on. On up.
He got jammed, for goodness sake. It took an 0-for-4. Do we have to pretend that the next greatest baseball player of ever just made his debut? I will say this. A charming young baseball player made his debut, and a guy who looked like he belongs kind of gave you a few good signs while he's taking an 0-for-4. But come on. You know who we should talk to this about? If only we could talk to the man whose decision it was to bring the 21-year-old up for the major league debut last night. How about Bobby Evans, the general manager of the San Francisco Giants? Might that interest you? I hope so, because he's joining me next here on 95.7 The Game.
You get home, you're glad to be home, now you're in front of your fans, so you certainly want to play well.
He did a great job locating the fastball, threw the curveball for strikes, did a really nice job.
Curveball, and he whacks it to center. Crawford tags at third. Hernandez will just leisurely throw to second, and the Giants have a 1-0 lead.
Up the middle, and a base hit, and here comes Panic, and the throw, not in time. And it's 2-0 Giants. Got him. Justin Turner makes the final out, and he makes it at second base. Posey to Crawford, and that's your ball game.
Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show. It's great to be with you, and it's great to be joined by Bobby Evans, who's got to feel a little bit better after a slow start to the year with all kinds of problems popping up and around the diamond. A win over the Dodgers is usually what it takes to start a San Francisco Giants player, a Giants fan, possibly even a Giants GM feel better. Bobby, feeling better after beating the Dodgers? Isn't that kind of how it works?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Seeing the way Matt came through last night, the Dodgers are tough. They're always tough. We didn't put a ton of runs on the board, but when Matt pitches like that and the bullpen follows him, it's a pleasant victory for sure.
Yeah, let's start with a couple positives and what's been a trying few days for your team. And Matt Cain, the very fact that we have him listed among the positives right now is a huge positive, I think, for you guys. After a terrible start in spring and then a rough first outing, the guy's been brilliant over his last three starts. He's 2-0 with an ERA of 1. I heard that's good, Bobby. I'm not a sabermetrician.
Yeah,
that's good.
Those are pretty good numbers, no question.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to need him. I mean, it's a long haul, and it's nice to see him get out of the gate strong. I told him this winter when I talked to him, we won't pay a ton of attention to just spring training numbers because we know how that goes. And if we had paid attention to that, we wouldn't have benefited these last three starts.
What's behind the turnaround? Is he doing anything mechanically? Is he preparing different? Or is he just healthy for the first time in 2.5 years?
Well, that's one. I mean, he is healthy for the first time. But it's also getting used to using his stuff differently. I think he has always played up in the zone with a plus-plus fastball, and he doesn't have that right now. So it's important for him to use other pitches and locate. And I think he's just much more in tune with that, and he's bought in and really in sync with whether it's Hundley or Buster back there.
How's the hamstring feeling after leaving his start last night?
I think the thing that gave me some hope is it was tight. He didn't feel like he pulled it, but we're going to get an MRI and we'll get an idea of whether there's any damage there, or there's anything to be concerned about. Again, hopefully not, but we'll monitor it closely. And at this early stage of the year, it's not a guy you want to take a risk with.
Bobby, I don't think I've ever seen a baseball game, a major league game anyways, end on a throw of a guy drifting off second. What a throw by Buster to end that game last night. I don't think I've seen that one before, really.
Well, I mean, the funny thing, Crawford's almost at the grass line in the back of the dirt, and Buster throws that ball, and I see Crawford just jet towards second, and he gets there right in the nick of time and almost collides with Turner, so... a tremendous play. I mean, very astute by Buster and Crawford both, and a very athletic play by Crawford, and dead to rights. I mean, it was doing a 3-2 pitch the next pitch, so nothing better than getting them right there.
Yeah, really. It was a heck of an ending to a game, and Giants beat the Dodgers last night in a lineup that saw a 21-year-old starting at third base, Christian Arroyo, who, by the way, might still be doing a post-game interview from the field. he was great last night. How charming was all that? You said a few weeks ago he'd have to force his way up. He put numbers to suggest he did that, and you guys have been putting up to numbers suggesting you need help. You just need something from anywhere. How much of this was Arroyo earned it? How much of it was you needed him?
Yeah, it was a combination of both, but I mean, we would have loved to have given and still, time for Arroyo at Triple A. Just, there's a lot to learn about this game, and there's, he hasn't hit his 22nd birthday yet. So, but he earned it. I mean, he earned the shot when you're hitting that well 3 weeks into the Triple A season, and he's not just throwing up a couple hits a game. He's throwing up three hits and four hits and RBIs, and and you know, giving us key at bats. It's just, you know, it's just hard to argue with, and it literally fits a spot that, you know, we can make an adjustment with, and that, you know, credit Nunez because of his interest in being flexible, his interest in being a guy that can play other places, that only helped us at this point, because otherwise, you know, if he wasn't so flexible, we would have been kind of, you know, without the option of bringing Arroyo up. So it's really credit to Nunez for having the flexibility.
Giants GM Bobby Evans here on the Damon Bruce Show. And, hey, kid, welcome to Major League Baseball. You take an 0-for-4, and everyone's happy you got that runner over, which turned out to be the go-ahead runner. Your prize for all that is an introduction to Clayton Kershaw. How about that? Welcome to the bigs.
Yeah, well, we'll look at it as maybe a Kershaw's introduction to him, too, tonight.
Oh, all right.
But you know what? You know, not a better way to start. I mean, with the facing the best, it only can get better from there, right?
It sure can. Have we officially got all the good feelings out of the way, Bobby? Can we get to the 500-pound gorilla in the room here with Madison Bumgarner falling off a dirt bike and just kind of sending the start of your year from bad to worse in that moment alone? Tell us about where you were when you heard about all this.
Well, you know, my concern immediately jumped to something much more serious, and not that hurting your shoulder and your rib cage isn't serious, but it's nowhere near as serious as it could have been. And I started with a place of relief when I heard actually what it was, just because there's a lot of things that could have been, like I said, a lot worse. And so for me, the hard part is ahead of them, getting back to, you know, back to health and back to pitching, and then, you know, ramp back up for the season. But, you know, hopefully there's a lesson learned there, not only for him, but for all our guys, because, you know, these kinds of things, as adventurous as they are, there's certainly a huge risk involved. And not to say that, you know, life in itself, it's a risk driving down the freeway, but, you know, at the same time, we just want to make sure that our guys, you know, stay in a good place, you know, not only for their baseball careers, but for their families and their own well-being.
I got to ask you, Bobby, are you going to dive into the details of his contract, what he is or isn't allowed to do, and maybe discipline him in some way financially?
You know, that's not a focus of ours at all. I mean, I think that for us, you know, the postscript to this isn't about his contract. It's about ultimately getting him healthy and getting him back on the field and doing what's best for the organization and the team and the player. You know, I think that level of discussion is, you know, really not a focus of ours.
I think that's the right place to come at this. I really do. I'm glad to hear that, because he's been pretty good, you know?
You know, he has been good. But it's not only just about being good. It's about, the player himself and given what happened and again, making sure that he gets literally back into a good groove where he's healthy and strong again. And, you know, I'm sorry he has to go through this. I know he is very remorseful about it, and there's a lesson learned. And again, hopefully it's not only a lesson for him, but for everyone.
What will you be looking for as Ty Block starts against Kershaw tonight?
You know, just Ty being who he is. I mean, you know, Ty's a control pitcher who locates and knows how to use his stuff and knows how to get ahead in the count. And, you know, I think that, you know, the Ty Block that we know, that we've seen, you know, over the years in his minor league career, you know, it's hard to argue with what he did at the end of last year. But even if he's not repeating that kind of performance, it's just, you know, being able to compete and keep us in a game.
Bobby, when you heard about how Johnny Cueto was just in a, you know, wanderlust kind of way in a conversation, asked about the American League and said, yeah, you know, I'd like to go try that on for size one day at the end of my career, as he is in his final career with you, how did that news or story hit your ear?
You know, I look at him as a guy a lot like LeVon Hernandez, who will pitch well into his 40s. So it really didn't concern me, because I think he's got a lot of baseball ahead of him beyond this contract. And I think that there's he's underrating his at-bats, though. I think he's got a pretty good bat on his hands, and hopefully he can continue to help us there. He's already driven in a couple runs, I guess, this year.
Bobby, one more for you. You got the 19th pick coming up in the draft in June. You didn't even have a first-rounder last draft, so I'm sure you and John Barr are excited about what's coming up here. You got a busy 6 weeks ahead, don't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of talent out there, a lot of choices, and really hard to gauge who's going to be there. I think even the top three or four picks aren't going to be an easy selection either. So a lot of hard work being done. Our guys are constantly in meetings and at ball games all across the country, and hard work and admirable amount of effort, obviously, going into it, preparing, and anxious to see who will be there for us. There's obviously going to be some good options.
Just going to throw out one suggestion. Left fielder.
Yeah.
That's just it. One, left fielder. You might want to look left field, yeah. Bobby.
Well, the rule of thumb is you really don't want to draft necessarily a left fielder at 20, 21 years old. You want to, you might draft a bat and think he could be a left fielder, or you might draft an athlete who maybe plays other positions yet ultimately could end up in left field. But first and foremost, you're looking for the bat and the athlete, or you're looking for the arm and the potential to be a starter. And if he becomes a reliever, so be it. But you project high and then, work your way down.
Hey, we thank you very much for joining us here today, man. It's been a very interesting week. Never a dull moment around the Giants clubhouse. Great to have Boach back in charge. Hopefully everything is okay with him in the meantime. And Bobby, it's been a busy week, and we thank you very much for joining us on a day the Giants and Dodgers are playing. Thank you.
You got it, Damon. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Bobby Evans, good to have him on here. It's been a crazy few days for the San Francisco Giants, and I thought he just pretty much answered everything about as straight up as a GM will give you. David Forrest, he's tough to beat. David just tells it like it is. I really appreciate it. We'll have him on, A's GM, a little bit later on this week, but always appreciate Bobby Evans' time, especially, like I said, when the Dodgers were in town. It's officially a big deal around here. You hear about that? Giants-Dodgers? Something.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
That's what I hear.
That's a real thing. Pat Riley absolutely knows the moment when he thought he had lost LeBron James' wandering eye. A really interesting story told in USA Today. I'll share it with you next. Yeah, sorry, I'll get back to the radio show in just a second. First, I want Gianna's on-air natural reaction to this picture of Logan Couture sitting in a dental chair about to have his teeth replaced, operated on. You tell me if this isn't something that your whole nightmares are made out of.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's awful. I don't know if I would have shared that.
That's pretty raw daddy right there.
Whoa.
That is raw dog right there. Logan Couture with just, I imagine, is this is a first degree dental situation here. This is not first week of dental school stuff.
No, this is
need the expert. Goodness. You know who I should seriously have had on? I should have my father-in-law on. He's a dentist. I guarantee you can tell you exactly what's going on here. He can tell you what this thing jawing his mouth open probably is too. Ah.
That just looks so painful.
Logan Couture could sip, like, he basically could pass a whole animal through his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, he could eat a whole goat could pass through his mouth.
It's like his mouth is stretched just to fix this. It's
hoofs, horns, and all. Oh, yeah, you got to get that mouth way open there.
Base.
God, that's good. Let me tell you, I have torn my knee. It hurts so bad. I've done the ACL, MCL. I've done that.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, it sucked.
Ouch.
It hurt. I would gladly, the whole, I'd take any injury before I went through that again. Like, that's how much it hurts to tear your knee. I joke, like, if you said, we can either shoot you, like, in a part, like, we can shoot you in the butt with a gun or tear your knee again, I'd be like, you know what? I know what that feels like. I'll try the bullet.
Really?
Not a mortal wound.
I know. I got you.
Damon was shot in the fanny and died immediately. Not one of those. Like a fanny grazing.
Okay.
What happened? Oh, they grazed my fanny. I think I would rather tear my ACL than have my teeth knocked out like this.
I mean, I don't want to look at it anymore.
I got to close it too.
I can't even handle it.
How about this? If I leave it open, we're going to talk about nothing but this for the rest of the show. And I know for a fact that people reacting to a picture on the radio is not good radio. But I'm glad we got your natural reaction because it did say an awful lot right there. So, Pat Riley normally is a I-get-what-I-want kind of fella. Pat Riley, for those of you who wouldn't know, couldn't care less, but I'll tell you anyways, I went to Pat Riley's high school. Pat Riley went to Linton High School I went to Linton High School. It is now called Schenectady High School. But Pat Riley was a great quarterback, a great basketball player who obviously earned a full scholarship to Kentucky. And Pat Riley has as much juice back in Schenectady, New York, as a human being can physically possibly have in any one location in the world. Pat Riley is a god in Schenectady more than he'll ever be in Los Angeles or on the South Beaches of Miami. You know, I mean, it's just he is legend.
To his hometown.
ESPN's Wright Thompson, who is in his own right a legend when it comes to writing a really good sports story. This guy is fantastic. ESPN's Wright Thompson spent an extraordinarily long amount of time with Pat Riley and got an access to his id, his habits, more than anything I've ever written or read. I didn't write any of this, but more than anything I've ever read about Pat Riley. ESPN's Wright Thompson said that Pat Riley knew the moment that LeBron wasn't going to resign, even though LeBron in that moment didn't make it abundantly clear, but through his actions and body language did. And I think that this is really interesting. In a way, it reminds me, remember when there was an article about how Steph Curry became Under Armour's chief endorser?
Yes, because of what happened.
Basically, Nike met him, dropped the ball, even mispronounced his name or spelled it wrong on a chart that they put up. Like, Nike so thought that it was a done deal that they could kind of half-ass it and screw up their presentation to Curry. Under Armour swooped in, and the rest is kind of history. Well, this is almost the opposite of that, because in this case, the person doing the interview was completely prepared for the meeting. The person that they're interviewing, LeBron in this case, really wasn't into it.
Was already 1 foot out the door.
So apparently, Riley told his lieutenant, Andy Ellsberg, to get the two championship trophies that LeBron had won and pack them in their hard shell carrying cases. We're bringing them to the meeting. Okay? We're going to bring them to the meeting. We got all these charts and easels of free agents that we're going to pursue around him, going to blow him out of the water. We're going to treat him like a free agent and woo him, you know? Pat Riley knew LeBron James was likely leaving the minute he walked into their last meeting. Riley told his lieutenant to get the two championship trophies LeBron had won and pack them in their hard shell casings. He also brought charts and an easel for a presentation about the free agents the Heat would pursue. The day of the meeting, a hotel bellhop followed them with a luggage cart carrying the presentation and the two trophies. Riley had brought wine from Napa, a vineyard named Promise. It was the same label that Maverick Carter had presented Riley with when they did LeBron's deal 4 years earlier. His agent, Rich Paul, was also, in the suite. Riley respects Maverick Carter an awful lot. And he knows that that is LeBron's most important voice in the room, other than his own, listening to the voices in his own head, you know? Riley respects Carter, and when he walked into the suite and saw that James was sitting there with his agent, Rich Paul, and a friend, Randy Mims, but no Maverick, part of him knew the meeting wasn't sincere. He turned around and he told Ellsberg to keep the trophies and the easel in the hallway.
Really?
Knew it right there.
Wow.
Maverick Carter's not here. LeBron's not serious. And then there was what actually happened in the meeting. James and his associates were watching a World Cup game, which they kept glancing at during the presentation. At one point, Riley even asked them to mute the television. If Pat Riley doesn't have your full attention, Pat Riley might notice that.
Yeah, definitely.
That's something else.
That's kind of rude.
It is kind of rude. We now know the end of the story. James announced just a few days later that he was heading back to Cleveland. He brought them a championship, 3-1. We get it. We understand it all. In James's defense, as the story goes here in USA Today, you know, the World Cup is only on once every 4 years. But it's definitely not very professional to be watching TV during a pitch meeting, and it would be even better if you listen to Pat Riley's pitch. But you know, LeBron and Riley had a relationship, and basically Pat Riley knew in that moment, I'm not getting the level of respect that I normally get from this guy. And sure, the fact that Maverick Carter isn't here means this is an illusion. he's gone. I love getting little detail behind the story. Like, imagine that. He packed the two trophies and he walked into the hotel suite and was immediately just so put off by the thing. He's like, don't even bother bringing them in here.
Well, he knew. I mean, it wasn't going to make a difference.
I still think I'd bring up the trophies. I still would have brought the trophies.
Really?
I might have said save the other free agent stuff, but I still would have brought the trophies. Oh, there's not a lot of stories about, hey, and then that day, Pat Riley lost. But that's how that story ends. Mm. Wow. The Wright Thompson piece gets into really, really interesting stuff, gets into the whole how he lost weight, he lost Bosch, started questioning himself. He's now a part-timer. He lives half the year in Malibu, half the year in Miami. Really interesting, though. It's one of the best pieces of sports writing you're going to read all day. Did I say Hunter Thompson? I meant Wright Thompson from ESPN's Profile on Pat Riley. If you're on hold, stay right there. We got a great hour for you coming up. A Tuesday trifecta and a reset. Warriors swept the Blazers, not just on the scoreboard, but culturally.